You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Abaragani, brothers and sisters, Abaragani. Of course, that means what's the news, and today is Nia. I usually come on with my, hey, good morning, African world. And believe me, I love to wake the African world up. I think we all would love to wake the African world up, you know, either by yelling, shouting, or slapping somebody upside the head. Wake up, you know. But today, of course, is the principle of Nia, purpose. And we're going to talk about Kwanzaa, of course, and the importance of Kwanzaa. Because I believe that Kwanzaa is part of and one of the components for African liberation. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. You know, it's one of the components for African liberation, for African self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. That has to be our end game. That has to be the direction that we're going to go. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays, from 6 to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. Followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Cambon and her daughter, Nataki Cambon. And then that's followed from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra on Mondays. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesdays. I don't know if he had a show yesterday, a program yesterday or not. Didn't get a chance to listen. I went to see my grandson play ball. Yeah, it's a good game. They won in double overtime. He had a good game. You know, both my grandsons, they think they're ballers. You know what? I just want these cats, because ain't nobody got no damn money, and they need to go to school. I just want them to develop good enough and grades good enough to get a scholarship and take it from there. Exactly. On Thursdays, tomorrow night at 7 p.m., Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and my dear sister Bonisiwa Ayan. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays. Saturday, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers from 4 to 6 on Saturdays. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. Then on Sundays at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 on Sunday. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Yeah. So, yes, 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 I appreciate it. Okay. We by Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. It's the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters have a wide variety of products for you to buy. Please go online, check it out, WeBuyBlack.com, and do your shopping during the Kwanzaa season. You know, yesterday, you know, it was Ujamaa, you know, and to me, I understand there's just really a fraction of us who practice Kwanzaa and who practice Kwanzaa 24/7, 365, who go out of their way to spend money with us. It is not something that I do, you know, it is something that I do consciously. It's just not a fad. It's not something right now. Oh, it's Kwanzaa time. Let's do it. No. These principles should be instilled in your everyday life. So, Bomani Tayemba, he'll be back on the 5th. That's the same day as the election, ain't it? On the 5th. Yeah. I'll be glad when this shit is over. Excuse me. I ain't lying, y'all. I'm so damn tired of these damn commercials. I seen even one commercial. I don't know if the sister was Raphael Warnock's wife or not. She was looking all like, and supposedly he ran over her with a car. I'm like, damn. You know, I saw that online. I didn't see that on a commercial, you know. But because to me, I saw it online where you might be able to get away with some stupid stuff like that, you know. Okay, some more stuff about Ossoff and Warnock, you know. But, you know, it'll be over soon on the 5th. And regardless, you know, of who wins, unfortunately, I believe that the Republicans are going to win. It's a Republican state. You know, when Jones ran against Kelly Loeffler with Raphael Warnock, and that's why no one was able to get 50%. And but if you take his votes and her votes, exactly. So it's going to be a miracle. And it could happen. I mean, the reality is just look right now what's happening. Mitch McConnell, for those people who would get some money, as bad as the economy has been, as bad as people are suffering, and that asshole Mitch McConnell once again stifled it, $2,000 ain't nothing. There are European countries in this pandemic are giving their citizens that amount of money a month. A month. And $2,000 a month ain't nothing, especially in this society. They're giving $2,000 a month. So $600? You don't know? The last we got was $1,200? That was about 6 months ago? Stop it. While Mitch McConnell is a multimillionaire from one of the poorest states in this country, and them fools in Kentucky continue to send his ugly, two-shaped, turtle-looking ass back to the Senate, it's ridiculous. I hate his system. I really do. Okay, Brother Oshi, back to the announcements. Okay, Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba will be back on January 5th. Remember to go to his website, africafortheafricans.org. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. Okay, and can't wait till he gets back and talk about the more upcoming trips that Brother Bomani Tayemba is going to engage, and you have, and you will have, that's right, you will have an opportunity of a lifetime, okay, a trip of a lifetime to go to the motherland. Renoko Rashidi, his trip is upcoming. He has, it was changed, of course, because of the virus, and it's October 5th through the 16th to Uganda and Rwanda. I mean, just great pictures. Go to Dr. drrenoco.com, drrenoco.com, and check it out. He's also going to Kemet August 1st through the 14th. He's going to Kemet. So those are two trips. I know his trip's around about $4,200. Bomani's trips are around $3,700. So Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha Incorporated.org, they are doing the work and they deserve to be supported. Their local things that they do, of course, dealing with the Habesha Works and, sustainable agriculture. They're doing the work here in the Atlanta area. The Kashi Project in Ghana. Because Habesha is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth, families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. You know, you got to give it to them. It's beautiful. You know, the Habesha Works program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, the Urban Green Jobs, Golden Growers. You just can't beat it. The Kashi Project, which is ongoing. So, you know, they deserve to be supported. That's HabeshaIncorporated.org. The LEDGE program, Land for the Environmental Development of Economic Group Economics, which, of course, is part of Kwanzaa, isn't it? Ujamaa. Land for the Environmental Development. And, of course, they're looking at the four areas of human development, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. The four basic. And they're trying to do something about it. They have over 12 projects in six countries and over 170 people employed and over 260 members. They need more members. Go to theledgeprogram.org, theledgeprogram.org. Wadana's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End, right across the street from Sauvage, and up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which, of course, the shrine is open on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. Get all the good things that the shrine has to offer. They got furniture. They got artwork. They got clothing. They got books. They got the guy's shoes, the red, black, and green shoes. I mean, they got it all, and they're open on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7, that's right. And, of course, Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar has delicious smoothies and drinks and so forth. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. And the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, the Medu Bookstore, and Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, and so forth. Give my good sister a call at 404-346-3263. If you're in the Atlanta area, go to the Greenbrier Mall. Right across the from the food court is the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. My good brother Gazim Dejamu at Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. If you want to go to YouTube, it's up on YouTube. This past Saturday's Kwanzaa, the beginning of Kwanzaa of Umoja, with me as the host and I did libation host, and Dr. Baba Baruti doing the presentation. Had a good brother who was in the Atlanta area who was providing entertainment, blowing his horn, sounding great. It was really great. It was a good Kwanzaa. Good Kwanzaa considering, you know, there's a lot of things that we can learn to do with the Zoom and the technology. So, hey, it's not like you can't have it, because you still can have it. It can still be done, you know. So give Brother Gazimdi a call at 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People and the Spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Tomorrow night, the Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. And the name of the program is Dare to Win, Us Lifting Us. Of course, if you just want to call, it's from 9 to 10. If you want to call in to listen. That's cool. If you got questions, comments, or concerns, that's cool too. You dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us, lifting us. The Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Sister Gabby, I think I told you Monday, she sent me a whole nother round of pictures of what's going on in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti in the program that she has called Sonjay-Haiti. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Check it out and support what's going on. And, of course, Baba Baruti and Inia Baruti of Akabinin. And, of course, Akabin House is where you can get the books that Baba Baruti is selling. And, of course, I got the latest, Inye Sesem, number 2, so I'm ready for Friday. That's right. I'm ready to read the 31st tomorrow and then the 1st on Friday. That's right. Akabin House. Okay, get the books, akabinhouse.com, and you can purchase the books from akabinhouse.com. But it's Akabin Institute that you need to make your donations for the educational component that they have, and which is the main focus of preparing and developing our warriors, African warriors. Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. And then, of course, you want to use Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A-M, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And you can make your constant donations through Cash App. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. December 29th. How is it that a certain contact with a woman can give one so much peace, so much harmony with all things, can open up this sense of immense promise and a thousand possibilities? Nguye Wé Tayonge. Nothing compares to the touch of an African woman. Its familiarity is beyond explanation, for her touch reaches beyond the physical into her complement spirit, a spirit she alone shares. However applied, her contact brings the essence of Ma'at, melting too into a union more disciplined, more reciprocal, more balanced, more powerful than two individuals alone could ever imagine. Her warmth opens up a mind to the universe, soothing, rhythmatic ocean, bringing waves of overflowing with the creative possibilities of life. It gives oblivion remembrance and direction and brings peace into spaces wound up so tight that love could find no way in or out. There are no words to describe the healing, restorative power of an African woman's loving touch. It is something only an African man could know. Ashe. Affirm, I am loved. Affirm, I am loved. Ashe. December 30th. I will not commit treason against my ancestors. The Oracle of Ma'at. I will not commit treason against my ancestors. I will not commit treason against my ancestors is the most profound and all-encompassing of the Ma'atian oracles. It covers every possible transgression. Most anything done by an African possessed by the European mind is treason against his or her ancestors. Almost anything. I'm going to be going back and forth with this one because I want us to clearly understand. We are constantly committing treason. Most anything done by an African possessed by the European mind, which is, of course, a lot of us, is treason against his or her ancestors. To act as if we do not know what has been done to African people is treason. To act as if we do not know what is being done to African people is treason. To act as if we cannot see the genocidal plans others have in store for African people is treason. To know these things and do nothing is treason. To allow our children to be spiritually, mentally, physically enslaved and subjugated to European inferiority is treason. To forgive the unforgivable and forget the unforgivable is treason. To embrace those who have always been our enemies in hopes of gaining their love at any expense is treason. To act as if Africans are just another people and pretend that being European is being human is treason. To despise those courageous enough to challenge us to be the divinity and genius within and not solely the material without is treason. To care for relics, words, and images of the ancestors of those who worked so diligently to destroy our ancestors is treason. To hate our essence and appearance is treason. To not be our ancestors, to not be African, is treason. Affirm, I will not commit treason against my ancestors. Affirm, I will not commit treason against my ancestors. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought is treason. And yes, we do. We commit treason every day. Great Kwanzaas that are happening. I want to make sure that you know where they're at online. Let me see. This one, yes. This is the one Brother Lusk sent me. And he said this is case sensitive. Brother Lusk out of Montgomery, Alabama. This is out of Tuskegee, Alabama. The Nature's Garden Sister Circle Collective will host the virtual Kwanzaa this year and the virtual Kwanzaa celebration beginning on the 26th, the first day of Kwanzaa, and ending on Friday. And it's at 7. This is, remember, Tuskegee is Central Time, 7 p.m., 7 to 8:30, 7 p.m. to 8:30 Central Standard Time. Okay, when you go to Zoom, the ID is 816-1746-3500. That's the ID number, 816-1746-3500. The password is lowercase e, the number 3. uppercase Z, uppercase S, uppercase K, lowercase E, the number 2. I'm going to repeat that. The passcode, which is case sensitive, lowercase E, the number 3, uppercase Z, uppercase S, uppercase K, lowercase E, and the number 2. That's the Kwanzaa that is happening in Tuskegee. And that's every day. That's every day, brothers and sisters. So, and then there's the Kwanzaa that is going on with Brother Mickey Dean in Kansas City. And so, here's that Kwanzaa's information. Brother Mickey Dean. So, and I've sent this out to a lot of people. And so, and of course, today is Nia, The host for this evening's program will be the Kansas City Melting Pot Theater. And the Melting Pot Theater began in 2013, has a manifest vision of its founder and executive director, Harvey Williams, to use theater to educate and uplift our community to understand the rich contributions that African people make to the American theater landscape. For the 2020 Kwanzaa program, is spotlighting the artist Crystal Capage. Crystal is a significant, she is a singer-songwriter. She has produced several recordings under her stage name, Crystal. On the program will also be poetry and local poets, Glenn North, Michael Long, and hip-hop from Royce Sauce Handy and Nubia Block City. So that's this evening. And you can give Brother a call at 816-866-3025. That's the Kansas City chapter of MBUF. They have a connect. They have, and I'm not sure if it's case sensitive or not, but on the flyer, it's twitch.tv/NBUFKC. MBUF, National Black United Front KC. I'll repeat. And that is tonight also, too, at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9. And, of course, that is Central Standard Time. Central Standard Time tonight at 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern. And it's twitch.tv/MBUFKC. MBUFKC. So, oh, well, did I do that? Yeah, brought that right into my face. Just don't need to... Okay, and like I said, so they have the different days, and of course they got two more days, and tomorrow night, the Kwanzaa will be hosted by the American Jazz Museum, located in historic 18th and Vine. Going to Kansas City, I'm going to hang out on the corner of 18th and Vine. Well, actually, it's 12th Street and Vine. The Jazz District. Since its inception in 1997, the museum has hosted thousands of students, scholars, music fans with over 400 performances, education programs, special exhibits, and community events. The evening's program will feature a 25-minute documentary on the history of American-African migration to Kansas City and its subsequent contribution to the city's culture in the early 1900s. This will be followed by jazz performances from local musicians. That should be exciting. That should be good tomorrow night. Today is good as well. And once again, and then of course, well, I'll be back on Friday, and I'll announce that on Friday. But the seventh day of Kwanzaa will be hosted by Giving Collective of Queens, New York. Their program will consist of African dance drumming, a youth panel, conscious hip hop, video clips of their work. They will also be presented by motivational speaker Ryan Harvey. So you see, they got it going on, man. So there's still things that we can do on the Kwanzaa. And of course, hopefully you're establishing some Kwanzaa traditions in people's homes and family homes and so forth. And once again, here is all lowercase to the link for the access to this week-long event is twitch.tv/MBUFKC. All right. Yeah. I'm going to. Oh, no, that's not what I want. I want. This is what I want. I'll deal with that, the importance of Kwanzaa, after the break. When I come back from the break, I'll read that, the importance of Kwanzaa. Man, I tell you, I've been getting some good information. I'm not going to just give you a little bit of it. You know, like Friday, of course, if you can remember, I stated that it is the last day of Kwanzaa. And obviously we'll talk about, you know, the importance of Kwanzaa and Imani, faith. But also it's the birth date of Dr. John Henry Clark, and Baba Kamban stated that it's also Doc Ben's birthday around that time, and might even be Chancellor Williams. And when he, you know, when Baba said that, automatically I put in my mind that picture of Doc Ben, Dr. Clark, Dr. Chancellor Williams. And I'm not sure if it's Ivan von Sertima or if it's John G. Jackson. I think it was four of them. They're in the airport. You know, just chilling out in the airport. You can see it's like the airport. They're waiting, you know. Wow, there's some great men. They were great men. They were warrior scholars. Warrior scholars, they're looking for the truth to assist and help African people. There are scholars. There are historians. There are men and women like Drusilla Dungey Houston. She was in the NYSASM. Was it yesterday, Monday, or last week? And I mentioned her, and I admire her. You know, she wrote the book, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire. You know, because she understood the importance of history in the lives of a people. And of course, we've been led to believe that we had never done anything. That we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created a civilization of any kind, of any worth, and nothing could be furthest from the truth. See, that's why, you know, that's why I can't stand these folks, you know. Also, too, Sister Susumi in Botswana, and I hope that she'll be able to come on the program, or at least call in next week, because she sent me some good stuff. You know, she's gonna send me some good stuff on the vaccine. I've been getting good stuff on the vaccine. And I think for us, this pretty much sums it up. This right here. Where is I got to find that? You know, because it is a good piece. And I'm like, you know, I got to find that so I can read that to you. Yeah, what did I do with that? You know, here it is. Here it is, Brother Oshie. Here it is. Thank you. Here it is. It is not just that African people randomly have a distrust of the medical industry or the system. It's that the government violated the trust of our community for centuries. Stop making it seem like African people are paranoid or irrational when this system, this government, Caucasian people have proven to be liars. Everybody should have that because you need to be skeptical. And if you ain't paranoid, you should be. And that's how we should feel. And I ain't just talking about the Tuskegee experiment. I'm talking about everything. In Science on Oppression, Baba Jetty, Dr. Jacob Carruthers, Baba Jetty, he says that science, everything that the European does is in service to European. It is not objective. It is not neutral. It is not. Everything was designed to maintain and sustain the privilege that Caucasians have created for themselves. And I mean, damn it, everything. Some things that they wanted to maintain and keep to themselves. They couldn't, because some of the stuff we took off, like especially in entertainment and in sports. But then again, of course, you got to understand something, brothers and sisters. Whatever area that we can apply ourselves to, whatever area we can apply ourselves to that is unfeathered, that is unrestricted, we will succeed. So, but it's comfortable letting us play sports and entertaining them. It's comfortable. So, because the society is systemically racist and discriminatory, so we just can't freely go into the society and apply our abilities wherever we want. No. So, to box, wrestle, play basketball, football, baseball, you know. I mean, even look at golf. Look at tennis, particularly women's. There hasn't been any brothers in tennis that had any kind of dominance yet. Because all that it really means and all it really takes is somebody who is driven, like the Williams sisters. I got to give Mr. Williams much love, and I know I bet he's kind of heartbroken that both of his daughters is, you know, dealing with Caucasians. Because, I mean, I don't know if you ever seen that one piece when his daughter and both of them are there, and he's sitting in the background. And, of course, Venus is the oldest, so they're talking to her first because, you know, Serena is younger, a few years younger. And so she is telling this reporter, this Caucasian man, yes, I'm going to do this. And then he's like, yeah, right, you ain't going to do. And so he jumps up. Old man Williams jumps up and said the interview was over and looked like he was going to beat his ass. I loved it. I loved it. You know, don't tell my daughter she can't do something. And I'm saying to her, she can do whatever it is that she applies herself to, whatever it is she puts her mind to, and you're going to come back and say she can't do it? Get your ass out of here. I don't know what's wrong with me today, y'all. I don't know. I have no idea what's wrong with me today. But I am fired up. I am fired up. Maybe because I know it's the end of the year. I'm getting good information. I mean, people are sending some really good information. I can't wait to share it with you. Probably going to do it Wednesday of next week. We're going to talk about. And I have been reluctant to talk about the vaccines. You know, I mean, I knew I was not going to get the vaccine. I knew that, you know. But now I plan to argue vehemently against the vaccine. Been producing some information, not just that sister who is a health worker who got Bell palsy. You know what Bell palsy is. That's when your face droops and so forth because she got the vaccine. And I don't know, you know, sometimes you see stuff online and this is what she said it is. This is what she said happened. I have no reason not to believe the sister. If she says I took the vaccine and this is what has happened to me, because there have been people who have had, you know, some serious side effects. And I know that what this society is doing, and I don't mean United States, I mean Europeans. I don't separate United States from Europeans, wherever they are. They're all the same. That's one big damn club, okay? And so these vaccines that are being promoted now, obviously now there's three vaccines, and I think there's a fourth, I'm not sure. One vaccine, you can just give it out, bam, right then, and it starts working effectively, they say, right then and there. Okay, the first one they rolled out, it had to be, you know, seriously frozen, damn near. Had to be kept extremely cold. And then, of course, you get it, and then about a month later, some weeks later, you get another shot, and then you're supposed to be protected against coronavirus. But one thing we're going to be pointing out and talking about is nature itself. And we as African people, our nature, how we are in tune with nature, that we don't need no damn vaccine. We just need to be connected. We need to be connected. And I know Brother Paul sends me some good stuff. So I know I'm going to send Brother Paul this particular piece because, you know, that's a good piece, you know. But, yeah, I saw this thing online. I was like, yeah, that should be our feeling. Because there are many of us, and they're even, like I was watching the news, many people on there, and just like they had the sister who helped develop it. So, yeah, well, if a sister helped develop it, then it's got to be safe for us. You know, and then there's a sister who got one of the first shots. Well, if a sister took the shot, you know, then it's got to be good for us. You know, one brother I was saying, man, I don't trust these folks. Man, you think that they may give us one vaccine and give the Caucasians another vaccine? Hell yeah! I do not trust Europeans. They have did everything to betray our trust. They continually betray our trust. That's why this is a good piece. And you should, it is not just that African people randomly have a distrust of the medical industry or the system. When you look at the medical industry and it's constantly saying there's more problems for us than anybody else, then that shit right there should tell us something. It should tell us something. It's that the government has violated that trust. For centuries, not just a few years, not just a decade or two, but for centuries. Look what they have done to us in experimenting on us, done to our women. I don't know if they took that statue down in Central Park or that Caucasian gynecologist, but I remember some sisters protesting with a gown on with blood. Reminiscence of blood in the front near their vaginal area because of what this man did, you know. So stop making it seem like African people are paranoid or irrational when y'all have proven to be the damn liars that you are. The liars that you are. I don't trust them. You know, I know that some of us have Caucasians in our family, and especially because of the promotion of what's happening. I mean, you can't turn the TV on without seeing Caucasians and us, commercials particularly, you know, with a Caucasian man and a sister. That's what you see a lot, most of all, from what I've been noticing. Every now and then you see a Caucasian. But I'll say one other thing you see a lot of, homosexuality. You see us and us and them and us. Shit. I mean, shucks. Sugar, honey, iced tea. Ain't supposed to be cussing on this, Brother Oshie. Sugar, honey, iced tea. You know, but it seems like you can't have, there can't be a movie today that does not make some reference, you know. That's why I love those Africans who study African culture and who have studied African culture for some time in various African cultural groups, so-called, I hate the word tribes, cultural groups, nation states, nations, and found no homosexuality in them. In ancient Greece, And in Greece, you can see statues of Greek men with little boys' pedophilia. Greek with other men hugged up. Homosexuality. You can see it. That was not, you don't see that. There is no statues. There's no Medunature. And if there is some Medunature, it is after the dynasties. It is during the Ptolemaic reigns, the Greek reigns. That's why the other day I was watching, I saw a particular piece where I think her name is Gil Gadot. She is Wonder Woman. She is Israeli, and she is going to play Cleopatra because she says Cleopatra is Macedonian. You know, she's Macedonian. She is not African. And then what people who I love and respect and trust have said about that history and said about that time is just like she would be a high yellow sister. Because what the Macedonians did is have, you got to understand that African genes are dominant. European genes are recessive. So her saying that she's Macedonian don't mean a damn thing. The fact is her genes now are mixed with African, and African genes are dominant. So she's African. How about that? Oh, man, you know, time is flying here. I'm going to probably take a little break. So when I come back from the break, I'm going to read the importance of Kwanzaa. You know, just like I said, the importance of Kwanzaa in our lives. There's no doubt about it that we need to embrace this. We need to, as African people, and not just here, even though it was created here. This is not American African. This is African. So Africans in the diaspora, Africans on the continent, need to embrace the spirit and then put the principles into our everyday lives. That's what needs to happen. We need to put those principles in our everyday lives. Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know. Look like my cousin was just trying to get on the line. My good brother, my good cousin, Johnny Thomas. So when I come back, I'm going to read again the importance.
That one right there. Yep.
The importance of the Kwanzaa celebration. The importance of Kwanzaa is self-definition and self-celebration. Kwanzaa was initiated by Malala Karanja and draws on both our African heritage and our American experience. Kwanzaa is the only non-personality-oriented holiday formally celebrated by American African people. Kwanzaa depends upon us and only us to exist. And at the same time, Kwanzaa's existence affirms our struggle and progress. Kwanzaa is our holiday because we make it our holiday. Regardless of what others may think or feel about Kwanzaa, Kwanzaa is our holiday because in celebrating Kwanzaa, we focus on ourselves. To the degree that we make Kwanzaa important in the celebration of our lives, to the same degree, Kwanzaa celebrations nationwide elevate us in the eyes of everyone who view our Kwanzaa efforts and evaluate the capabilities of us as a people to chart our own destiny. When he's saying that, I don't give a damn about people outside of us. I could give less than a rat's ass. I care about people with inside of us, those who may be hesitant to support something like that, those who have unfortunately have been so whitewashed, so to speak, and have no concept, and that they see that, and then maybe there's something in that or in them that makes them want to learn more and embrace it. And that's what I hope happens. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
Shop owner, I want your business. What must I do to convince you that I'm here to service you? I live in the neighborhood and my ways are just as good. Why don't you come and support me the way you know you should?
For help, where are my brothers who got all their wealth? They say God bless the child who's got his own. Though a child be blessed, he can't do much alone. Who can I turn to if I can't count on you? What is a small businessman to do?
Listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media,
part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
One dedicated to the fifth principle, the principle of purpose, them I call it Nia. Say African people celebrating Kwanzaa, beginning on the 26th of December. Say me chat it in the roots, me dash it in the culture. Cause I'm an actor, mic, me a the field marshal. With the man Steve Kopp and Chavin Duca. The purpose of our mission, you find it in Nia. I tell you black people, say you must understand. Say each and every one of us, we're all African. We're coming from the roots and from the foundation. If you understand Nia, then you know our mission. was a thing that money could buy. The richer were to live on, the poor were to die. You never miss the water till the well run dry. You never know a good thing until you try. Say you're spitting at the saggot, I go falling at your eye. A life will make you laugh and life will hit to make you cry. Like an African eagle, say your dreams are them a fly. Have a purpose in life until the day that you die.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Abaragani, brothers and sisters, Abaragani, and of course that means what's the news, and in the news today is Nia, our purpose. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. This program, African Perspectives, all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming with Brother Wahad Ahmed, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with host Dr. Mawia Kamban and her daughter Nataki Kamban, followed by 9 to 10, from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey on Mondays. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with host Chief Lance Jones and Sister Bonisiwa Ayan. And then on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers on Saturdays from 4 to 6. And then on Saturdays as well, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9. And then on Sunday, once again, at 7 p.m. on Sunday, it's Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yes, brothers and sisters, I'm really excited about the upcoming programs, particularly the one where we're going to talk about this health issue. You know, for a while, I didn't want to get off into any kind of conspiracy because, unlike other serious health issues, you know, viruses that were in the society, didn't know anybody who passed. But this situation, I know many who have passed. I know many who have passed here and, of course, in Milwaukee, where I'm from. Many who have passed. My good brother Conrad. In fact, on Friday, there was a piece on YouTube where Kwame Cobb and Chavin Duka are performing live. The music is, you know, tracked, but they're singing live for a Kwanzaa in 2010, and they make reference to Conrad, you know, Miss Conrad World, good brother. And hopefully somebody comes along finishes his memoirs. I don't know. That would be great if it happens, you know. So we're going to get off into that and some other things. And this Friday we're going to talk about, and I'll do some research on those other warrior scholars and definitely make mention, but I'm going to put a focus of course, on Imani Faith, but Dr. John Henry Clark, because it's his birthday, he would be 105 years old. 105. Like I said, in 2015, when I first moved here to Atlanta, the members of ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, which I'm a member. And been a member of quite some time, and the Southeast region of ASCAC, which is this area here, we met, and then we went to Augusta, Georgia, where Nana Clark is buried, and had a memorial service. Beautiful, it's beautiful, you know.
So we're going to finish this article. I mean, start it, I'll finish. The importance of Kwanzaa to the struggle for African liberation. This is Your World. I'm not sure when this article was written. It doesn't say. It tells us who it's written by. Also, too, contained in the article is a piece, just like the Dow test that Dr. Kenneth Clark did, and that it was done again by a sister back in the 80s. And what was very interesting about the Dow test, if you can remember, or if you have any idea, is that there was very little difference between what happened back in the 50s, because, you know, that led to the Brown versus Board of Education. They used that to some degree for that Supreme Court decision because of how we were seeing ourselves. And to me, what was problematic is that there were some of us who were probably tested who were involved in so-called integrated schools. Well, of course, there wasn't too much of that. But we had such a negative self-image that so when you pointed, which Dow do you think is pretty? And the little black girl pointed to the white Dow. Well, today, and see, in this latest test, I mean, this is just recent, it seems, because CNN did it, and what's his name? Anderson Cooper is the person doing reporting and talking about it, you know, and they have children. But what they pointed out was the number of Caucasian children who consistently, anywhere between 60 and almost 80%, consistently favor themselves. And let's be real, everything in the society favors them, so why wouldn't they? And then, you know, denigrate and demean and degrade those that are dark. That's what they do. So anyway, bump that. All right, this is Brother Bashir Muhammad Akinyele. He is an educator in the Newark, New Jersey area. He's a high school teacher of African history and studies, and is a member of ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, the study group in Newark. That is the Mid-Atlantic chapter of ASCAC. You know, so let's get off into it. And there's two cutaway pieces. One, Dr. Shashi McIntyre. And, you know, she was one of the outstanding educators. That's a really a nice. No, I'm sorry. Not Shashi McIntyre. Barbara Sizemore. Apologize. Barbara Sizemore. Outstanding educator. You know, you're talking about black people still don't get it. It's about an hour-long presentation. And, of course, Malala Karinga. Why Kwanzaa? You know. We're not going to play those. I'm just going to read this particular piece and then we'll talk about it. And you join the conversation. That's right. And of course, just dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. All right. Culture is a weapon in the face of our enemies. Amilcar Cabral. He was one of Africa's foremost anti-colonial leaders. Amilcar Cabral. Culture. The key component is culture, y'all. In fact, you know, what Europeans have done, I don't use race. There's no such thing as race. Race is a European concept that they devised. You know, there's only one race, the human race, of which African people are fathers and mothers of. There are cultures. Europeans impose their culture on those who they encounter. They denigrated and demeaned the people's culture and imposed theirs. And so therefore you thought you had to dress like them, act like them, their educational process, all this and that and the other. C- culture. Some of us still on the revolutionary path to liberation and to liberating ourselves from European and Arab cultural domination. Therefore, some of us do not celebrate any European or Arab holidays. However, we know that many of us in the American African community celebrate European and Arab holidays. This is because of the centuries of captivity, colonialism, colonization. You know, apartheid and the invasion of the African world by non-African people. Generations of African people were forced to practice non-African cultural holidays such as Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, Halloween, and Valentine's Day. And these things are celebrated. I don't know about no damn Halloween and Valentine's Day, but Christmas and Easter for sure. On the African continent. I've been there when it's happening. Okay? So I know. However, you know, African life has been and still is culturally dominated. I hate to read this, you know. African life has been and still is culturally dominated by Europeans and Arab cultures in the new millennium. On the African continent, African people have been ravaged by hundreds of years of European and Arab captivity. In some quarters of the African world now, Arab captivity is still in practice without pause. Look at Northern Africa, Mauritania. Look what happened in Libya. Libya is a damn mess. And like I said, I'll say it again because I might have a new listener or two. What you see in Libya is a direct result of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. And, of course, Europe, particularly France and Britain, they did that. The blood of Muammar Gaddafi is on their hands. For nearly 100 years, Africa was subjugated to European colonialism. Down in southern Africa, Europeans subdued our people into a vicious and violent racial caste system called apartheid. The apartheid system was created by European colonists that racially separated Africans from all Caucasian people in Africa on our own soil. All of this, you know, that's the thing. There's not a place there's not a place on this planet that African people are doing to us or doing to someone else that was done to us. Not a place. And it's still happening. All of this oppression has left continental Africans deeply divided, ethnically and culturally disorientated. We as African people on the continent have been fighting for our humanity and fighting to rebuild a liberated African from more or less 100 years. In the Western Hemisphere, African people were and have been dominated culturally by Europeans for nearly 500 years. In America, American Africans were brought into this part of the world 400 years ago. We were in captivity for 250 years, a physical captivity of those 400 years. Caucasian people made it illegal in the United States for African people to be a man, to be a woman, to be a child, to be married, to have their own family structure, to practice democracy, to pursue the spirit of happiness, to have a proper education, to possess our own African names, to speak our own African languages, to practice our own African faith traditions, and to embrace our own culture. You couldn't do none of that. Nothing that would affirm you, you could not do. The Civil War brought an end to the captivity system in 1865. The 13th Amendment was passed that same year, outlawing forced servitude. Yeah, right. But see, that's what I'm saying. They're such liars. There ain't a damn bit of truth in them. All that piece of paper, emancipation, the Constitution, all of that ain't worth the paper it's printed on. But after our people endured the horrors of captivity, the American African community was reduced to a racial caste system. As African people waited for the United States government to determine whether or not to give us our citizenship and voting rights during the Reconstruction period, the period right after the Civil War, which lasted only 10 years, racist African codes, black codes, were created to keep us regulated to the lowest realms of society. However, the 14th and 15th Amendment in 1868 and 1870 granted citizenship and voting rights. However, what we got in place of justice was more legal racial discrimination. The Southern Caucasians within the former Confederate states, the states fighting against America to keep us in our existence forever. That's right. The Europeans fought. That's what I'm saying. When they talk about the flag and all this, they were traitors to keep us in that position, in that existence. We're given back their territories, their land was given back to those racist Caucasians. They, in turn, launched a political war in the United States government against some of the early freedoms African people gained during Reconstruction, such as citizenship and voting. Racist Caucasians convinced the United States their government that it would be beneficial to separate them all from all white folks, from all Caucasians. And that's what happened across this country, north, south, east, and west. Convinced the United States government that it would be beneficial to separate them. The government agreed. Caucasian people went on to create racial policies that turned Africans, American Africans, into second-class citizens and limited, or even just not even limited, X'd our vote out. For nearly 100 years, American Africans, under American segregation, United States segregation, racially separated African people from Caucasian people in every aspect of society. Segregation in America lasted from 1896 and it's still going on. The effects of captivity and segregation left the American African community in search of ways to reconstruct our lives and our destroyed African cultural traditions. Under captivity and segregation in America, we were forced to exalt everything Caucasian, but made to hate everything African as a direct result of systematic racism. We as African people in the United States have been left in a protracted struggle for Africanness ever since 1619. We almost lost a complete knowledge of our own culture and tradition. However, we are thankful to the Creator and our ancestors for the divine intervention in our affairs by raising up African leaders such as Richard Allen, you know, Richard Allen and Absalom Jones and the, you know, the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Paul Coffey, you know, became rich and he bought some ships and he was promoting for us to go back home. Sojourner Truth, Denmark Vesey, Nat Turner, Gabriel Prosser, Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, David Walker and his appeals, Martin R. Delaney, one of the strong Pan-Africanists. That's who said that. That's who said it. I'm glad that God made me a black man. One of the first, as they call him, race men, Martin R. Delaney. Look that quote up. Booker T. Washington, Dr. William Edward Burkhart Du Bois, H. Sylvester Williams, and George Padmore, the Caribbean Pan-Africanists, Dr. Carter G. Woodson, Noble Drew Ali, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, El Hodge, Malik El Shabazz, Brother Omawali, Malcolm X, Kwame Ture, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seals, Kathleen Cleaver, Fred Hampton, and Daruba Ben Wahan, Asada Shakur, Kwame Ture, Amira Baraka, Amira Obadeli, Queen Mother Moore, Chukwe Lumumba, Arturo Schomburg, Arthur Schomburg, Dr. Chancellor Williams, Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Joseph Ben-Johanan, Dr. Jacob Carruthers, Dr. Asa Hilliard, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Dr. Tony Browder, Dr. Kamit Aman, Dr. Shashi McIntyre, George G.M. James, who wrote Stolen Legacy, who I believe he was murdered. George G.M. James, Stolen Legacy. Dr. Edward Scobie, Dr. Malefe Kete-Asante, Dr. Shekanta Jop, Felifilio Binga, Dr. Mario Beatty, Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr, Sister Soja, etc., and many, many others that led liberation struggles against European culture supremacy throughout our sojourn in America. One of these leaders that rose up to consistently wage a cultural war against European domination of African people in America is Dr. Malana Karinga. He came forward to establish Kwanzaa as a pathway to rebuild the African world community and create revolutionary African cultural thought for African liberation. Dr. Karinga is currently the chair of African Studies Department at California State University in Long Beach and the founder of African Cultural Nationalist Organization called US Organization and a co-founding member of ASCAC. And he ain't been in ASCAC in over shit. I've been in ASCAC since the 80s. And I think that's when he was gone in the 80s. In Los Angeles, California, Dr. Karinga became a respected community freedom fighter in the turbulent 1960s. This was an era of a national African freedom struggle, American African freedom struggle, which consists of civil rights and the Black Power Movement. By 1966, the Black Power Movement came on the scene, capturing the imagination of the masses of American African people. It produced several leading organizations, such as the original Black Panther Party and the US Organization. And just a little sidebar, that's what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. One thing is very important to know the history. And just like I did when I did Kwanzaa last year, I said some things about Malana Karinga that were true. And the sister was very angry with me. And she just said, I didn't have to say that. Just like here in this presentation, it is very favorable to Milan. It doesn't talk about him being an informant. It doesn't talk about him waging war against the Black Panther Party. And it won't do that. But the bottom line is, you got to know the history. It doesn't talk about him selling out Kwanzaa and him changing the color of the stamp. I mean, color of the flag on a postal stamp that was created for Kwanzaa. So instead of red, black, and green, it's black, red, and green. I'm like, anyway. So back to the deal. This was the era of a national African freedom struggle, which consisted of civil rights organization and the Black Power Movement. By 1966, the Black Power Movement came on the scene, capturing the imagination of the masses of African people. It produced several leading organizations, such as the original Black Panther Party and the US Organization. The original Black Panther Party was founded in Oakland, California on October 15, 1966 by Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seals. Its political philosophy was rooted in revolutionary African nationalism, Black nationalism. The original Black Panther Party organized our people for African unity against racial and class oppression in the United States. Most importantly, this organization mobilized the American African community against the pervasive problems of police brutality. But before the establishment of the original Black Panther Party, a Black nationalist organization had already formed in Los Angeles. Dr. Karinga founded the US Organization on September 7 of 65, a year earlier. Its political philosophy was based on cultural nationalism. The US Organization unified African people against a fight against Eurocentric cultural and political hegemony of American African life in America. As an advocate for Pan-African self-determination, Dr. Karinga created a American-African political and cultural empowerment philosophy called Kawaida. It is a Swahili word meaning tradition or reason, pronounced Kawaida. Dr. Karinga defines Kawaida as a communitary African philosophy created in the context of African-American liberation struggle and developed as an ongoing synthesis of the best of African thought and practice, consistent exchange with the world. Kawaida became the foundation for Kwanzaa, a non-religion Pan-African-centered holiday celebrated from December 26th to January 1st. Amy McKeever of the National Geographic magazine published a history article on American racist conditions that created Kwanzaa. Her article was printed on December 22nd. Oh, that's recent. She writes, Kwanzaa was founded in 1966, a year after the historic rebellion that rocked Watts neighborhood in Los Angeles. Frustrated by years of abuse at the hands of police and crushed by poverty, the community protested and rioted. The unrest lasted a week and left 34 dead and 1,000 injured. In the weeks after the Watts rebellion, Milana Karinga, an activist and leader in the Black Power movement, founded the US organization to rebuild the neighborhood and promote African cultural revolution that would inspire pride in American African history and achievements long dismissed and suppressed by the dominant Caucasian culture. From the beginning, the plan was to create a holiday for American Africans to honor their African roots and reaffirm their cultural connections. Kwanzaa was also envisioned as a secular alternative to the holiday juggernaut that is Christmas. To establish a tradition of the new holiday, Karinga drew upon a Pan-African set of cultural symbols and practices. In particular, he believed that the annual harvest festival, in which communities came together to celebrate the fruits of their collective labor, were an apt model for building family, community, and culture. And he's right. I think one of the big problems, brothers and sisters, and I've talked to a number of people over the years, and because of Milana Karinga's alienation from the conscious community, and there are many people who don't want to, they associate Kwanzaa with Karinga, and rightfully so, understandably, that because of his doing what he did, his imprisonment and so forth, that people don't want to celebrate Kwanzaa. That's just being real, you know. But as I stated, it is not his. It is ours. And we must embrace it because it is a tool for our liberation. Dr. Karinga chose the Pan-African language of Kiswahili to connect and communicate Kwanzaa's rituals, principles of the holiday, nationalistic to the African world. In Kwanzaa, the Mishuma Saba, the seven candles, are used to represent the Nguza Saba. Seven candles are placed in the kanara, the candle holder. They must be three red and three green and one black. The kanara is placed on top of a mat, the mkika, and that's the Swahili word for woven mat. The colors of the candles represent the colors of African liberation, the African liberation flag of red, black, and green. Traditionally, the African liberation bandera, the Swahili word for flag, is placed by the Kwanzaa display. The African liberation colors represent the following. Red is for the innocence shedding of African blood. Black is for African people all over the world. The green is for the motherland. The land. The African liberation flag was created by the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey in 1920, when they had the convention in New York in 1920 with the attendance of 25,000 people. 25,000 people without social media. Hell, not even telephone. One of the main things of publication was the Negro World, today the African World, of which I'm going to be doing some reading from because I have a copy of the African World that is produced every year at the Bakasin Sumsum, African Spiritual Warfare by Dr. Marimba Ani, and that did take place in November. So I do have a copy, latest copy, and have all the copies previous of the African World. He was a legendary Pan-African nationalist. Garvey established an African nationalist organization called the UNIA, the Universal Negro Improvement Association. To this day, he orchestrated the largest Back to Africa movement in the history of the world. Unfortunately, Garvey's movement was destroyed by the United States government. However, his legacy and ideology are found in contemporary African nationalist circles and celebrations. Ashe. Also in Kwanzaa, two other symbols are used to complete the holiday ceremony. The mizoho, that's for crops, Swahili for crops, mizoho, represents the harvest. And the muhinde, Swahili for corn, representing the children and the future. On the first day of Kwanzaa, the black candle is lit. They have this here at the green candle. No, see, when you have your Kwanzaa display and you look at it, the three red candles are on the left. The black is in the middle. And the three green candles on the right. Supposedly. Now, you know, one thing about Kwanzaa. So I'm not going to dispute this about how they're lighting the candles here, okay? Or even where the candles are placed. But usually, you light the black one first. That's almost a given. And then you light the far red one. Then the far green one. The next red one inside of that, the next green one inside of that, then the next red one inside of that, and then the last day is green. That's how you do that. But, I mean, if you do it another way and it works for you, do your thing. That's right. As long as you celebrate in Kwanzaa, that's how I look at it, you know. Then the green one is lit, and then the next red candle is lit, and the rest, okay, go back and forth. In Kwanzaa, each day represents a principle of the Nguza Saba. Kwanzaa for seven principles. Oh, shucks, I'm almost out of time. For example, we know this. Y'all know this. I'm not going to go through this. Let me just finish up here. In my home, the Akindele family has celebrated and practiced Kwanzaa for 26 years. I have personally practiced and celebrated Kwanzaa for 30 years out of respect for my people. I saw Christmas. I say Christmas, but I do not celebrate nor practice any European occult or Arab holidays. There are other African people in the world, like me in America. We celebrate Kwanzaa every year, although they may not celebrate European holidays. They are respectful to our people that do, because there are a lot of our people that do. You know, this is because the very first principle of Kwanzaa teaches us to all struggle for umoja, for unity, in the African world community as a priority. As time moves forward with a correct understanding of the importance of Kwanzaa to African liberation, I believe millions more will embrace the holiday of Kwanzaa. Ashe. Ashe. If you want to, you can hit star twice. And those who are, we can have some dialogue. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. If you're listening and you hit star twice, that means you have a question, comment, or concern. And so please do so. You know, we got 15 minutes left, and we can talk about the Kwanzaa season. 334. Good afternoon.
Brother Oshi, it's always a pleasure to hear from you, brother. I really do appreciate this time, and I don't want to take too much of it. Did you mention about Brother Deloitte Parker out there in Houston, Texas, their Kwanzaa program?
No, I did not. I was okay, not aware.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, the Shape community.
Oh, yes.
The Shape community out of Houston, Texas.
Been there, yes.
You got to mention Brother Parker. Okay. Number one, and thanks for that information about Kansas City as well. And thanks for mentioning Tuskegee and Queens.
Right on.
Real, also quick, let me just say that it's programs such as this one that has really expanded my knowledge on certain kinds and types of information, as well as people who are still alive. You know, there's one name that you, when you were listening now, the some names, one of them being Carlos Cooks.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, had it not been for this brother to introduce him to me, I'll tell you, I went, wow. After reading the book by Robert Harris, I mean, everybody's got to get that one. And also to me, Brother Paul Across the Pond,
yeah,
as well.
Yes, sir.
So
yes.
These are the kinds and types of things that we need to really feed each other.
Right.
And so hopefully we can continue this process into the next year. And just to check to see how small the world is, would you happen to know Sister Mims out of Washington State would ask that?
I think I might. Mims, I'm not sure. I think I might, because I know a sister in Seattle. I know sister in Seattle. She is on the board of ASCAC out of State, Washington. She's on the board. And the fact they had ASCAC out of Seattle a few years ago, you know,
uh-huh.
They had the ASCAC uh-huh. conference in Seattle.
Very good. And so, again, with not only the other warrior scholars that you mentioned, but to come across other people who have just broadened the intellectual curiosity. When you mention Barbara Sizemore, it leads on to see Dolores Taylor,
Dolores Tucker.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tucker as well. And then when you mentioned McIntyre, et cetera, you know, All of these are people that eventually we'll have to study them.
Yeah.
So we just got to keep pushing forward.
That's right, brother. Thank you so much, Brother Lutz. I appreciate it. Yeah, I really mean this with deep sincerity. I appreciate what you bring, whether I'm listening to Dr. Rogers' program or I'm listening to Elliot's program. I'm glad that you are an integral part of here on the Time for an Awakening family, man. And I love it when you call in. And more importantly, I love it when you send me good stuff. That's what I love.
You're welcome. You're so very welcome. And thank you for receiving it, too, as well, Brother Oshie.
You bet, my brother. Peace to you. All right.
Peace.
All right. Yes, sir. 215-490-9832. My cousin, Johnny Thomas, good afternoon. Is he just listening? Johnny Thomas, are you there? He's just listening, I guess. Maybe he went away from it. But if he comes back, you can join the conversation. You know, a couple of my guys that call all the time haven't been calling lately. Maybe it's just that it's the end of the year, you know. But the bottom line is, you know, I've been doing this now. I did this right before I left Milwaukee. In fact, when you hear me say the Motherland Media, very quickly, I'm going to do this very quickly because I know we got a little bit of time. In Milwaukee, there was a radio station. Now, here's somebody. That's right. This is my last day in 2020. I'd be remiss if I didn't hear from this cat. 646-646, good afternoon.
Brother Oshie, what's going on, man? I looked at the clock and I saw that I was, I had to call my brother and wish him a happy New Year, Kwanzaa, and all of that, man.
That's right.
How are you doing, brother? And to the audience, too. How are you doing, brother?
Jay, I'm doing well, and I hope you are, too, dear brother. I hope you are. Right on. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm sitting up here making some escovee fish for some friends that's coming by tomorrow. So, you know, that's what I'm doing, trying to get everything
right
together,
on. Right on.
For tomorrow. But listen, man, I just want to say it was an interesting year. The year that's coming forward is going to be a more interesting year for African people. You know, I think some things are going to be revealed that haven't been revealed into dealing with crackers like Biden and Harris and the rest of these sycophant Negroes. And hopefully we'll move forward as a people.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. And the bottom line is that no matter what the government is and who the president is, we as African people must come together. That's why this Kwanzaa celebration is more than just a holiday. It is a unifying factor for African people. It is part of our liberation struggle. It is part of what this program is about: independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. And by embracing the Nguza Saba, those seven principles, you make that happen. So, yes, I agree, Brother Jay. It's the constant flow. It's a constant struggle.
And the struggle is not going to get better because unfortunately, our people don't realize the type of situation that we are in, not individually, but as a collective, because of the nature and the behavior of this demon. And we better figure it out quick, because this thing is real. This thing is really real, and it's at the point to where our people are going to suffer in some ways like we never had before. And to be honest and truthful, I don't even think we realize it. We're not clear on, as a people, what we're facing right now in this whole pandemic and the crises that's affecting us economically, housing, and everything. It's going to be bad, man.
You see, it's just those of us, like those who listen to this program, who listen to us as African people, American African people, the majority of us, unfortunately, we listen to Caucasians. We listen to their news. We listen to their institutions. We're all part and part. We believe what they have told us, that we'll be safe, you know, that we need to take this. This is for our good. It's for our betterment. That we need to do this. We need to do that. All the while, we are still being denied our humanity. All the while, we are second-class citizens in this situation. All the while, when they look at all of the social ills in this society, still more profound in us than anybody else, that defies all laws of probability. And it will continue that way until we wake up and get up and get out. Wake up, get up, and get out.
Well, the question is, can we wake up, and get out? And do we understand that's what we must do? I mean, that's really the question. I mean, all of the other stuff is just talk and rhetoric. But the reality is, are we clear enough that we must be at a point to where as we can do those things and move forward as a people? Are we going to come together collectively to survive? Are we going to do the necessary things to survive as a people in this crisis? The sad thing is, we don't think it's a crisis.
No.
That's the sickness. Yeah. We don't think it's a crisis. We think that we're going to be saved by this Yoruba, this devil, this cracker, this no good human being. And I'm sorry to say it, it's not going to happen. We're going to have to fend for ourselves and figure this out. Because always remember, if we're doing bad, he's doing bad as a collective also.
Yeah.
There's only a few that are able to do good. It's just like those that are in control don't want to do anything for those that don't have. That right there is evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a person like Mitch McConnell, I believe, in any other country would have gotten the South African burning necktie by now. he would have been gone, because he's the most evil human being on the earth.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody likes to talk about, you know, Donald Trump being evil and this and that. No, it's McConnell. Because McConnell is the one who constantly stops and manipulates and do the things so that everyday people can just survive.
No.
I mean, anytime you have the audacity to tell somebody, I'll give you $600 instead of $2,000, then you're evil. And they're based on the perception that your children are going to be mounted with death. Your children ain't even going to be in the position to eat or survive the way this is going. You notice how they're killing one another left and right. They're not talking about it, but they're killing one another left and right. We're in a serious time.
Yeah,
and I hope as a people, we figure it out and find what our place and our position is.
Well, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it that, you know, when you gave some money way back 6 months ago or so of $1,200, which ain't shit, excuse me, which ain't sugar, honey, iced tea, $1,200. Yes, Jay, you're right again.
Yes.
You know, you know, $1,200. There are countries that are giving that and even more a month. Canada.
Oh, no question.
You're other European countries giving that monthly, and yet you gave it one time. And now you're talking about, well, here's $600. While you talk about this country is the richest country in the damn world. What hypocrisy. What hypocrisy. Oh, no, because that wealth is concentrated in a small group, a few. The amount of billionaires in this damn country. $1 billion, Jay, let alone the millionaires. The millionaires. And yet they don't want to give somebody $2,000? Knowing that many of them have been out of work, knowing that many of them have been scraping and going to food pantries for months.
Yeah. Women. Hey, listen, Oshi, it's so real. Let me tell you something. It's so real. You got men and women out there selling their bodies, and Lord knows children doing the same.
Yeah.
And nobody even looks at that as part of the equation. So now you got a situation in the next year or so where community diseases are going to spread and all that. But listen, one last thing. Are you going to be on Friday?
I sure is.
Oh, okay. That's
yeah, so
good.
Please
That's
listen,
good.
Brother.
So you,
please listen,
you're
okay?
You're not going to take a day off and celebrate the Daddy's New Year. Okay. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. I'll make sure I tune in early and give you a Happy New Year. But look, I got to run.
All
I
right,
just
Jay.
Wanted to call and give you my props to the listening audience, wishing them all a Happy New
hey,
Year,
Jay,
and to wish you and your family
Jay,
the same, Brother Ocean. Keep up the good work.
Jay, let me say this to
okay.
you. Jay.
All right.
Let me say this to you. I appreciate you as a listener. Appreciate you as a friend. I have never met you, but you have been, when, as soon as I came on Time for an Awakening, you have been here from day one. I've been on 4 years now, and I can count on you in our dialogue and just keep up some brevity and so forth. But we're very serious about it and the love for African people, and I appreciate that. Jay, you have a blessed and wonderful
day. You're a special brother, Oshi. You're an elder. You're someone that must be listened to, and hopefully in the new year ahead, more people will tune in and listen to you and get this wisdom that you are expounding on our people, man, because there's very few that have been given the gift to communicate like you have and do it on a level to where they're promoting Africanness to its total form of being
right
to make our people more
whole. Thanks, Jay.
Hotep, brother. Peace and love.
Peace.
All right,
man. All right. Brothers and sisters, I thank all of those who call. I thank my cousin, Johnny Thomas. I thank, oh, definitely Brother Ted, Theodore Lusk, Brother Ted Lusk. Really appreciate him. I mean, some of these folks I have not seen, but you have called in and you have, you know, this is the last program for 2020. You know, I remember when 2020 came in, we talked about the vision, you know, 2020. It's going to be a year of vision. It's just a year of misery. But, and the reality is, you know, come Friday or tomorrow night at 12, it's the same shit. You know, it's the same sugar, honey, iced tea. We just got to deal with it. Because the bottom line is, we will deal with it until African people, are independent, are self-determining, are liberated, are sovereign. Because this program says, this motto is, Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed day. You be safe out there. Please be safe in whatever you do. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivahodie. Bivahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed and wonderful day and be safe. Peace, family.